I'd like to read, first of all, from the book of Exodus, chapter 30, and reading from verse 11. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, When thou shalt take the sum of the children of Israel, according to those of them that are numbered, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul to Jehovah on their being numbered, that there be no plague among them on their being numbered. This shall they give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs, the shekel, a half shekel, shall be the heave offering for Jehovah. Every one that passeth among those that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give the heave offering of Jehovah. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than a half a shekel. When ye give the heave offering of Jehovah to make atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and devote it to the service of the tent of meeting, and it shall be a memorial to the children of Israel before Jehovah to make atonement for your souls. The second book of Samuel, chapter 23, and reading from verse 11. And after him, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Heriite. The Philistines were gathered into a troop, and there was there a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people had fled before the Philistines. And he stood in the midst of the plot and delivered it, and smote the Philistines, and Jehovah wrought a great deliverance. And three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, when the troop of the Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold. The Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate, and took it and brought it to David. However, he would not drink of it, but poured it out to Jehovah. And he said, Be it far from me, Jehovah, that I should do this thing. Is it not the blood of the men that went at the risk of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. In the same book, chapter 15, 2 Samuel 15, and verse 19. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, Why dost thou also go with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a foreigner, and besides, thou hast emigrated to the place where thou dwellest. Thou didst come yesterday, and should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I can? Return and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As Jehovah liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the torrent Kidron, and all the people passed over towards the way of the wilderness. And behold, Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they sat down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up, until all the people had passed completely out of the city. Finally, in the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, and reading from verse 8. But surely I count also all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all, and count them to be filth, that I may gain Christ. Chapter 4, verse 8, For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are amiable, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things." I was speaking to a number of young people, as I indicated in the reading recently, and I was very encouraged. And one of them said to me, "You know, I do not believe that we value divine things as we should." And I've been pondering that for quite a while. And I have to ask myself, as well as each of the dear brethren here, do I value divine things as I should? We might be brought up in a Christian home, thank God for that, might enjoy the blessings of the fellowship and the hospitality of the saints. Do you realize that you are a very privileged person to be able to enjoy those things? Very privileged. And I'd say here and now, beloved brethren, there is nothing like the fellowship of God's Son. There's nothing in the world to compare to it. Let me reassure every heart here today, there is nothing to be compared with the glorious fellowship of God's Son. I'm speaking now of what is universal, where God has sovereignly worked in the souls of men and women and boys and girls. There is nothing like the glory of what God has called us to. And I believe it should be reinforced today in the hearts of all of us that we do value what we have been called to. I feel that. You know, perhaps we take things for granted. We might even think, you know, that the other side of the field looks greener and I'd like to have my fling in the world. Let me tell you, dear young person, don't try it because it will be failure. How many could be brought here to witness to what I'm saying to be the truth? Do not stray away from the pathway of God's will. I implore upon you. The days are closing in and the Lord's return is very near. Wouldn't you like to be found as one of those who are thought of as being worthy to be associated with the glorious risen man, the Lord Jesus? Therefore, I say this to preface what I have to say, dear brethren, as to the need of valuing our inheritance. Valuing it. We don't lightly speak of it either. It means something to all our hearts that we do value. And so where I've read in Exodus, the first thing we are to value is the appropriation of redemption. Very important. You might say, I'm a believer on the Lord Jesus. But have you appropriated redemption? Have you realized in your heart what it cost the Lord Jesus to make you his? Very important question to ask ourselves tonight. And do we realize that the cost was so great that it cost my Savior his life and his precious blood to redeem me? What if we realize that sufficiently? And to realize, you know, the Apostle Paul, who could say that he was the chief of sinners, that I cost the Lord just as much as the Apostle Paul. Do I believe that? The one who could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, do I realize that I owe just as much to the Lord as the Apostle Paul? Because he died to make me his. Therefore, I am to appropriate the blessed fact of redemption and what it means. So where I've read, it says, "This shall they give, everyone that passeth among them, that are numbered half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary." It's not the shekel that's current with the merchant. That's another thought. This is the shekel current in the sanctuary. It's a blessed fact, you know, to know that my approach into the presence of the blessed God is through Christ. And the one that has went into death and met the whole question of sin and sins for the entire pleasure of the blessed God, I owe everything to him. May I say, therefore, have you brought your 10 gerahs of silver? What does silver mean? The value of redemption. What does 10 mean? It means responsibility. And the rich were not to give more, and the poor were not to give less. That puts you and I and every believer on the same footing. Every one of us. And every one of us tonight, I believe the Lord would freshly impress us with the value of the half shekel. The shekel is God's perfection in Jesus. All that he has secured for his own eternal joy, he centered in Christ. But the half shekel, dear friend, is my responsibility. How do you match up to the rights of Christ? Do you realize he has rights over you? He has rights over you as creator, but he has rights over you as redeemer. And it's these 10 gerahs of silver that have impressed me recently. Because it says, the poor shall not give less than the half a shekel when ye give, shall not give less than the half a shekel when ye give the heave offering. Now, what does the heave offering mean? It means to say that my affections are responsive to the Lord. Could I ask, do you value what Christ has done? Do you value it enough to be committed to the Lord? Do you value what it is to be marked by the preciousness of the redemptive work of Jesus? Does it mean anything to you? Responsibility. You know, some believers want the privileges without the responsibility. And I have to remember, as I think about valuation, that I have a responsibility. And I have to recognize the rights of Christ over me in redemption. Now that's something to learn. That's more than just understanding the forgiveness of sins, if I may say so, speaking advisedly. It's a greater thing to appropriate the great matter of redemption and say, this cost the Lord Jesus his life. I'd like to respond in affection and love for him. I'd like to bring my half shekel, and I'd like to bestow it upon the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. So you see, dear brother, none of us, or dear sister, none of us can be excused. You're required to bring your half shekel, your 10 gerahs of silver. That's your responsibility as a believer. That's been taken up to be for the glory of God now and eternally. And you begin to think, you say, well, if I've been chosen in Christ before the world's foundation, if God thought of me in that wonderful time, had me in mind for blessing, couldn't I really bring a valuation? Something that affects his heart, heave offering, the affections. Dear young person, dear older person, what about your affections for Christ? John reminds us the Father himself has affection for you because you've had affection for me. That's the heave offering. Bring your heave offering. Bring evaluation of what really speaks to God of Christ in redemption. And I can tell you, dear brother and sister tonight, God will value that heave offering. It will delight his heart because it will show him that you appreciated the cost that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The one that has been into death and has come out of it victorious is our Redeemer. No wonder Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Well, how wonderful to be reminded of the certainty of divine things and all that they are for us. I could say more about this, but time will not permit. But it suggests to give you a sense that you might be exercised, and I might, to bring my half shekel and to give it to Christ. Perhaps it will be awakened in the hearts of someone here today that you might give Christ what he's looking for out of your affection. Well, now, where I've read in 2 Samuel 23, here's somebody else, and they have a valuation too. Shammah, very interesting man. If you look at his name means astonishment. I suppose you know he must have been quite astonished to think that someone would dare to come and take away that plot of lentils. And the scripture tells us he stood in the field and delivered it. He must have had a valuation, mustn't he, of what was really for the heart of Christ. I'd like to apply that to our localities. Do you have a valuation for where the Lord has set you and where the Lord has set me? And would you be prepared to defend it for the Lord? If challenge comes in and the enemy uses someone to challenge God's rights, would you be one of those that valued that plot? Wasn't very much, but it speaks of food. And you know, that's the kind of food that David was given in his journey in the wilderness. That's the kind of food that the poor had in the ingredients when they made their bread. It was lentil. Nothing very much outwardly, but it speaks of food. And dear brethren, what I would like to arrive at this evening is that God is seeing to it that persons are prepared to protect what is for the interests of Christ in the scene of his rejection. You say it isn't very much. We're very small. But do we let things go by? Are we ready to defend the rights of Christ in his assembly? It comes back, doesn't it, to evaluation of whether I really love the things of Christ, whether they are first to me in all that I do and say. Very important, very challenging. But I believe he stood in the midst of the plot and delivered it and smote the Philistines, and Jehovah wrought a great deliverance through one man. No, Mr. Darby said, when one man stands for the rights of Christ, he becomes a rallying point for others. Wouldn't you like to be like that in your locality? To stand for the rights of Christ in the scene of his rejection. And here we are. Three chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave. You know, I like to think at the present time, it is a harvest time. You may not think so. You might say, oh, well, things are a very low ebb. Things are difficult. But can I tell you, dear brother and sister, that not one of God's thoughts have altered in his divine purpose. And Hades' gate shall not prevail against it. That's the certainty of what God has done in the person of Christ. And what God set on at the beginning he's going to have at the end. He's going to present the assembly without spot or wrinkle or any of such thing. You say, is it possible? Yes, beloved brother and sister, it is possible. Because we get a view from the divine side of all that Christ has secured. The breakdown is with me. There's never any breakdown with the divine thoughts. Never. And what God has done in Christ, they're going through. Now, can you, we might say, get a feeling tonight of the longings of David at harvest time? David in rejection. Christ in rejection. You say you go out into the world, there's not very much room for Jesus. Not very much room. Perhaps a bright spark here and there, thank God for it. But in the main, Christ is in rejection. There's the wall of the Philistines. We might say the enemy. The mind of man in the things of God. And here's David longing. Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. Beloved brother, have you heard that longing today? Has your heart been stirred for Christ? Or do you say, oh, well, that wall of Philistines is there and I can't do anything about it. I'll just have to accept it. That's not an overcomer, is it? I think, you know, a person that really loves Christ will do his utmost for him. And if the Lord today is appealing to some heart here today, that his longings, his heart is going out to you in affection, he's longing that you might give him a drink, don't let him down. Don't let him down. You might say, just before he actually comes, whose right it is to reign, don't let Christ down at the end. David longed. And he said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. But the enemy stood between David and it. What did they do? They had a valuation that, cost what it may, David's heart would be gratified. Interesting, you know, they're not named, are they? Another interesting thing, you know, in their desire to gratify the heart of David, no one was slain either. Think about that. One object was to give Christ that, what he desires. And I'd like to apply it today to any heart here who may be hesitating as to really gratifying the heart of the Lord Jesus, perhaps in the remembrance of himself. Perhaps the Lord will make an appeal to you tonight. I'm longing for a drink. Longing for a drink. You said you would remember me last week, but you didn't do it. You said you would remember me a year ago. You didn't do it. Think of Joseph. Joseph said, you know, bear a remembrance of me when it goes well with thee. And what happened? The butler forgot him. Have you forgotten Jesus? Maybe he wants to revive your heart today. Revive the work of God in your soul. Bear a remembrance of me. One day, you know, the butler had to acknowledge his fault. Yes. And I didn't do it. Maybe we have to say that too. The longings of David. The longings of Joseph. Christ. I believe he would make an appeal to our hearts in his word tonight, so that there might be the breaking through. Let me encourage our younger brethren to break through. You know, all of us, you know, a brother said to me in the interval, sometimes, you know, the young people forget that we were young once. And we had the same feelings, the same obstacles to get over, and the same nervous feelings and all that goes with it. We've had to go that way too. But through grace and through mercy and the strength which God supplies, he enables us to break through. And the result is, the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate, and took it and brought it to David. That must have been wonderful, wasn't it? Here they brought the water that he longed for. You say, why was it the water of Bethlehem? I suppose it would remind David of the sorrows and joys connected with Bethlehem. All that the Lord went through, all his sorrow, and yet the joys that would be attached to it as well. David would say, this will gratify my heart. But when they brought it, it says, be it far from me, Jehovah, that I should do this thing. Is it not the blood of the men that went at the risks of their lives? It says, they took it, brought it to David. However, he would not drink of it, but poured it out to Jehovah. It became an offering for God in worship. Wonderful to think, isn't it? What God has secured in Christ for his own eternal joy and pleasure. It's through three men who overcame the Philistines, who had a value of what it cost. And David says, be it far from me, Jehovah, that I should do this thing. Is it not the blood of the men that went at the risk of their lives? You say, fancy doing that for David. At the risk of their lives. Maybe, dear brethren, we do things in comparative comfort. What about doing something for the Lord that costs you something? What about being revived today in what really answers to the heart of the true David? Something which will be a comfort and joy to his heart in the scene of his rejection. I would make an appeal, even at this moment, to every heart here to think about what we're saying and think of the longings of David, the longings of Jesus, that he wants you to do something for him. Maybe be encouraged to do it. Blessing will result. These things did the three mighty men. Later on, you find them with great exploits. See, God can use persons who consider for him, who love him, and who desire to serve him, overcome the difficulties and the exercises, and you'll find that there's a great result for the glory of the blessed God. Well, now, when we come to chapter 15, Second Samuel 15, here's a man called Ittai. I must confess I'm very fond of Ittai. I think he's a most interesting servant. Now, he had a sense of values too, didn't he? That when the test came, he answered absolutely to the test. Lord may test any one of us, of course. Why dost thou also go with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. You might say, well, I didn't expect that sort of challenge, David. But the wonder of it is, the challenge brings out the reality. Now, the Lord might do that with any one of us today. He might challenge your heart. Why are you here? Or you say, I love to be amongst the brethren. Well, thank God for that. But why are you here? Oh, because I love the Lord Jesus. Thank God for that. But could I say, have you answered to his commandments? Do you know, I think this section here fits very well with, if anyone love me, he will keep my word. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I think Ittai would stand out as someone who valued his link with the true David. Someone who valued the commandments and kept them. So, the king says, for thou art a foreigner. And besides, thou hast emigrated to the place where thou dwellest. Well, you know, we've all been brought in on the line of grace, haven't we? It's unmerited favour that we're here today. It's divine grace that's included us. Just like a Ruth. Someone who had no right or title to the blessing. That's how we've come in. And I believe it, his eye shines in this way. But what marks him is he loved David. He loved David. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you value him so much that you want to be with him in death or in life? Notice the way it's put. I believe that in truth, you know, Ittai not only passed over, but all his family with him. Ever heard about baptism? Well, that's the truth of baptism. It said all the country wept with a loud voice. All the people passed over. The torrent Kidron, which is the death of Christ in its teaching. So you realize that there was no prospect for Ittai. The one and only prospect that was bright and glorious was to be with David. Now, can I say to you, beloved brother and sister, there's no prospect here. But the prospect is bright and glorious for the believer in Jesus. That's what we look for. The coming of the Lord. His rights over us. But until he comes, the Lord is looking for persons like Ittai that will stand the test and answer to the challenge and be for the Lord in his rejection. Are you ready for it? Am I ready for it? Do I value, therefore, the things of the Lord Jesus so much that I want to be here just like Ittai? And it says, they passed over the torrent Kidron, and all the people passed over towards the way of the wilderness. And behold, Zadok also and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they sat down. The ark of God and Abiathar went up until all the people had passed completely out of the city. Wonderful thing to arrive at, isn't it? You really arrive at another ground altogether because of the death of Christ. Paul could say, no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. So therefore, can we be an Ittai, and can we value what is really for the heart of divine persons? Well, I pass now to Philippians 3. We read, but surely I count also all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all and count them to be filth, that I may gain Christ. Christianity has come in. And everything is in comparison. A certain line becomes negative, and another line becomes positive. So it says, I have suffered the loss of all and count them to be filth, that I may gain Christ. Now I think, you know, the apostle had a great sense of value. You might say it's very strong language here, and so it is. But it's something that the apostle Paul arrived at, that Christ was the object of his heart. You know, that's a wonderful thing to have, isn't it? That I may gain Christ. Think of that word, you know. If he gained the whole world and suffered the loss of your soul. Think of that, the contrast. And here's Paul saying, count all things to be filth, that I may gain Christ. I would like in my measure to be like that. That we might gain Christ and have a true sense of value. The things that are passing and the things that will go on into eternity that will never end. Now here we are, as we said in the reading, all present before God. What really is your sense of value? Is it Christ? Or is it the world? So we have to come to that. We have to realize the searching gaze of the Lord. And to realize that as we come to this, we'd say, no, I would rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather be in the scene of testimony, separate from a world that's disowned Christ, than to have the pleasures of sin for a season. I believe the Lord would speak to us at this time as to our true sense of value. So you see, that little conversation with the young people did us all good. And it'll do us good today if we think about it. That we sit down and we begin to think what really is of true value I want to go in for. You go in for the things of Christ. From today onwards, you make it your great point in your life. Christ first in everything that you do and say. And then you will come to this blessed thought here. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, and so on. If there be any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things. This stabilizes you. And you know, there's not a bad thing mentioned. There are only good things. And we want to be occupied with good things. Positive things. And I believe the Lord helps us to see what really matters. Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it amiable? Is it good report? Think on these things. And I find that challenging, you know. We sometimes listen to a lot of rumors which have no foundation. Let us be occupied, dear brethren, with what is positive. What is really to be our occupation. This, I believe, are the true sense of values that are needed amongst us and among all believers, for we all need to be sharpened in our desire and in our discernment for what is good. Refusing the evil and choosing the good. May the Lord help us on this line, for his name's sake.